of today's message is rays of joy. So I want you to think about that as we move into prayer over this message. Lord Jesus, there's a lot that wars against our joy. And that's been the case ever since the fall. But sometimes there's seasons where there's even more challenges, God. And we truly are living in those times. So we say in the name of Jesus, let joy abound in ever-increasing measure in all of our lives. And Lord, the ones right now that don't know you, that are seeking to find answers, Lord, open avenues. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon them and draw them to that river of joy, which is you. And we ask now in the name of Jesus, move me out of the way, and the things that you won't proclaim today through your word would not just reach our ears, Lord, but that it would truly reach our hearts. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Again, the title of today's message is Rays of Joy. And we talked a little bit about this last week, that God has called his people to be his light upon this earth. And there is a particular light that he desires to flow from us. And in that light is seen the abundance of joy. Rays of joy. You've heard the phrase before. I think it's kind of contemporary. Check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? You've heard that. That something about it just rings really true, doesn't it? But how many people live their life without checking themselves? How many times have we been guilty just to force our way through life and not really evaluate what we are presenting to others? And one of the ways that we describe our countenance, and that is the power of our mood. The power of your mood. Do you realize the strength and the influence that your mood has upon the lives of others? Is your mood, and you know I always speak to myself in my messages, is your mood the first impression felt when you encounter others? When you walk through the door, let's look at this. Does your mood enter the room before you? Mood is powerful. Mood sets the tone. And do we evaluate what our mood is accomplishing in our lives, in the lives of others? Because we know this, whether we feel it or not, moods matter. The mood that we have matters. Mood, another way of defining mood, it's a state or quality of feeling at a particular time. Sometimes our moods change because of the events that surround us. That's one definition of mood. But mood is also a distinctive emotional quality. And in that quality, we as human beings have a tendency to find our, for lack of a better term, our sweet spot. And it might be sweet to us, but it may not be sweet to others. The mood is the general attitude that we as people embrace. Another way of defining mood is this. A mood is a frame of mind. In our lives, what is the tone that we're comfortable presenting to not only ourselves, but presenting to others? The mood that we choose is a framework that we operate within and that we are comfortable within. God's framework for the mood of Christ's followers. Do you believe when God looks at us and listens, knows our every thought, Does our mood matter to God? And I believe throughout Scripture we are propelled and encouraged to guard our mood. And not only that, God has developed a particular framework that Christ's followers must apply. And there's no better place to see that than in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. Let's look at this a minute. When you entered here today, before you walked through those doors, you brought with you your mood. All of us did. And our mood will determine what we experience in this place. And not only what we personally experience, but what others will experience from us. So here is the goal that God has us for our attitude, our mood. But the fruit of the Spirit, and what does that basically mean? If you are a Christ follower, you are filled with who? The Holy Spirit of God. Now, that is a fact of breathing as a believer. The Holy Spirit lives in us. So this is the fruit that God says, if I'm there, these are the things that are going to be dominant. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do I have a loving attitude throughout this journey? Is my mood perceived as more loving or could care less? Also, my mood would be one of joy. Joy that is not something hidden, but something that is experienced by me, that is obvious on my countenance, and also it is something that reaches the hearts of others. Another framework for our mood as Christ followers is peace. We go through times of shifting with peace, but peace is that power that comes in chaos and settles us. And that's the mood of Christ's followers. Not only that, patience is not just uniquely selected for a few, but patience is the mood of Christ's followers. Christ's followers have the attitude, regardless of what's going on, I'm going to reach for patience when impatience arises. Not only that, the kindness is in the attitude and the mood of Christ's followers. You know, our mood can really be so unkind to others. Not acknowledging them, not speaking something of life to them, just pushing them aside. The mood of a believer, of a Christ follower, is one of kindness. And this one here tells us this about our mood. Is your mood determined by your mama? Is your mood determined by your daddy? Is it? It can be impacted. If I grow up with a mama that is filled with negative mood and a daddy that's filled with negative mood, guess what's going to happen to the child? Most likely that's going to be the sweet spot for the mood. So the mood is to not be flesh-like, it is to be Christ-like, it is to be God-like. And then also this, the mood that is the framework that God has for Christ's followers is faithfulness. My mood doesn't change because the environment around me continues to change. I am faithful to stay steady to the framework of God. And then also the mood of gentleness. And then this is a powerful one. All of them are, but you can tell who is in charge of someone's life by their dominant mood? Now listen close to that. We are controlled by the authority of God. We have the power of the Holy Spirit in us that guides us in authority to reach beyond our framework and reach through the framework of God. Self-control. The Spirit-empowered self-control, because sometimes my mood just gets really out of hand. my mood gets to a point where I want to make some pain to others. My mood sometimes is when I wake up, I feel like just being down. I feel like just casting weight upon others. The last thing that I want to do is to be a ray of joy. But then I'm reminded I am not controlled by my feelings. I'm not controlled by my flesh. I am led by the authority of self-control that comes forth out of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not just pie in the sky. That's not distance thinking that it can never reach me. It can reach all of us. And then we live under the law of the Spirit, right? We are empowered by the law of the Spirit. And then I want to ask you this question today. What is your dominant mood? What is the mood that you are most comfortable with, that when others think of you, they put this emoji on you? What emoji would best represent you? Look at all of those. Which one? Okay. Do you know which one would represent you? You don't have to say it out loud. Do you know? But I promise you this. Others know. Why? Because our mood reaches to others, whether we like that or not. So in the fact of our mood is something that we give and lend to others. It is part of being that light that Christ has asked us to be. And then I want to talk about something that goes way back to 1970s. How many of y'all, and I go way back, I remember the 70s very well. Very well. It was a time where fashion just gave up. I thought about this today is when a 12-year-old for Christmas has on his list a 3-inch wide white belt with 3 hooks on it. Fashion has given up. That was one of my Christmas presents that I wanted. And during those times, and I know some of us don't remember those times because we weren't around, but I've shared this story before, bell bottoms were the thing, right? And I hear they're coming back. Bell bottoms were the thing. And I wanted to be with it. I wanted to be groovy. And my mama would take me to the store to buy pants. And I said, Mama, I want bell bottoms. She said, we'll get you some bell bottoms, baby. I go in there, and my waist was very big when I was a child. So we're looking through the clothes in the boys' department, and there's not a waist size for me. And I said, Mama, they're not a waist size. Am I fat? She says, you're not fat. She said, you just husky. Yeah, you're just husky. So we go to the men's department. She says, these will fit you, baby, with your husky little self. And she get them home, and she was going to alter them for me because, of course, they were too long. By the time she put the hem in, they were straight leg. Yes, yes. And it was emotional stress for me as a kid. But I remember all kinds of things in the 70s that were, like, popular. And one of those things was the mood ring. And we have a little gift for everybody that came today. And I'm going to ask, let's see, do you mind, Lizzie, to just start this out? And you go through here and you pick out one that fits. They're all adjustable. But we want everybody to have a mood ring today. And you remember this about the mood ring. How many of y'all remember a mood ring? Okay, you're showing your age now, right? Well, we see some younger ones out, I guess. But somebody developed a type of compound that when you wore the ring, it would change different colors based on the temperature of your body. But then they went on to say it was the temperature of your what? Of your mood. Now, I was going to give a list. And if you want to put that ring on today, just kind of experiment with it some. But I was going to give a list of all of the definitions of what the colors meant. But I said, I don't want to embarrass anybody here today. So sometime when you get a chance, you can search it and you'll see plenty of lists. But the mood ring would tell you and it would tell others what type of mood that you were in based on temperature, right? And I think when it comes to our mood, one thing that stands out is that our mood rings out to others. And as that mood ring is supposed to communicate what our mood is, we don't have to wear a ring for that to happen, do we? Our mood is something that is touching hearts each and every day. And then we see this. Mood sets the tone of the atmosphere of life. Now think about that for a little bit. And you guys can just, Liz, you can just let them pass it. That way you don't have to stand so long. And you guys just pick out the one. There are a few in there that men can get away with, but we'll see. We'll see. But here's the thing again. Mood sets the tone of the atmosphere of our life. What quality of life do we want to have? When it all comes down to it, what type of quality of life do we want to have? And what role does mood play in the quality of life that we have? Mood impacts, because as soon as we embrace a particular outlook, a particular attitude, our life begins to be impacted. Another thing about our mood, emotional strength and health is seen in a balanced mood. When our moods fluctuate all the time, that is a sign to us that we need some help emotionally. We need some added strength so that our emotions do not run away with us. A balanced mood is a sign of emotional strength and help. And then this is the great part for believers, Christ followers. If I have a bad attitude, if I have a bad mood that has become my signature mood, I have a God that's going to help me. I have a God that I can call on and say, Lord Jesus, rise me above the feelings that I have inside to give me the strength of your joy. And then, what one word best describes God's hope for our mood? If you had to think about it, what one word would arise to say, this is God's goal for the mood that I carry through this life, for the impact that I have upon others, for the atmosphere of the life that I live? And I think you already know what that word is. It is joy. Joy. Nehemiah 8:10 in the latter part tells us this. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm going to read that one more time. And do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, this verse came out of this situation. A people that were distant from God. A people that had forgotten God. A people that had their moods set by their flesh and not by the living power of God's guidance. On this day, the word of God was being read to them that had been put away, had been forgotten. And as it's being read, they began to weep. All of the children of Israel began to weep, and they were saddened because they realized how far they had missed God. And then arising, Nehemiah cried out, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. God understands. God is not out to bring you down. He's out to lift you up. Yes, repent and turn to the joy of the Lord. And I think that's where it kind of breaks down. We find avenues where we have forgotten God. We have attitudes that we've embraced that God has a disdain for. God has asked us not to live there, but we have forgotten His word about it. We have denied that that is what His heart is. Not that we're all robots and we are all acting the exact same way. No, there is a premise, a foundation of joy that all believers must have. For without it, we walk in weakness. And mood and weakness combined is a dangerous recipe. You see this? Set down joy, pick up weakness. I don't have anything to be joyful about, Pastor. I don't feel like being joyful, Pastor. My life has so many problems in it, I don't really want to even talk about joy. But the choice is this: set down joy, pick up weakness. Pick up a mood that presents your heart to others, that is not the heart that God intended you to have nor present. The joy of the Lord is our strength. See, joy of what? What is your source of joy? What is the source that brings out joy in your life? Your source determines its quality. Some folks right now are in a bad place with their moods, and their dominant mood is so distant from what God's hope is for them. It's because they have sourced their joy in something other than God. And one of those things as Christ followers that we're tempted to do is to source our joy in how life is going. If life is going the way I want it, then I'm going to be happy. But if it's not, everybody's going to know there ain't nothing happy about me, nothing joyful about me. But God has told us life is going to have pain. Life is going to have difficulty. But my joy is there to rise your heart, to lift your heart above all of the things that are seeking to rob you. But no, we'll turn to other sources. Why? Because other sources will get dopamine happening in our brains. And then we get a euphoric feeling for a little bit, and then it just subsides. What is our source of joy? What is it? You've tasted it. If it is in the wrong thing, you've felt the highs, and then you felt the valley. And then after a while, that which is our source that is not the Lord, it begins to wear out. And we delve deeper and deeper to try to search where that source can provide joy until we look around because we haven't checked ourselves. And we're in the process, as that phrase says, of wrecking ourselves. And a sign to us, a sign to God, and a sign to others is our dominant mood. What is the source of your joy? May joy of the Lord be our source. See, when we choose joy, it's not just strength for you, strength for others. I call out to daddies, Daddy, joy of the Lord be your strength, so that your children, your wife, your children are guarded and protected. Call out to mamas. Mamas, may the joy of the Lord be your source. May it be your strength so that you lead your babies in ways that will preserve them and grow them and protect them. I say to this congregation, God has made us rays of His joy. He wants consistency of a joyful heart to be that which lives out of us so that others will know where hope and joy is found. See, When people look at us as Christ followers and we walk around grumpy, we walk around with this hedge up, we walk around with those pictures of the emoji being what we have other than joy, we put barriers up to where life is truly found. Rays of joy. Your salt and light. Christ's followers are God's rays of joy upon this earth. What type of light, and Heather, maybe you can kind of dim this just for a moment. What type of light do you cast on the hearts of others? Is it red, representing anger, representing unrest, contention, an attitude that is confrontational? Is that the light that is being radiated from our hearts to others? Just indifferent. Never finding anything to say positive about someone. But delving deeply into the negative. Is it red? Is that the light that we represent? Or is it this? Is it blue? Woe is me. Life stinks. Trouble, I got the blues, right? Down, down, down. Just never able to reach up with the strength of joy. Is that the light that our lives are projecting to others? Because again, the light is not just something internal in us. It is external. It is beaming out. Whether we like it or not. And I believe that is mercy of God. God put us here to be his ambassadors, so we are going to influence, whether it's for the good or for the bad. And then for some, it looks more like this. It's just void of light. It's nothing there. It's just what? Disconnected. There's no energy in it. It's just getting through, just numb. But it's influencing, right? You've been in a place where you needed light and you couldn't find it. Not a fun place to be, is it? But that is how some people live. They live with a mood that is just shut down. And not only that, it's off. It's not balanced where it needs to be. And that scary word is defective. So what do you mean by that, Pastor? If this is me, I need to check myself. Because there's a problem. And it's a problem that God can answer for me. Will it be easy? No, because some of us have temperaments that are led more to what? The blue. And others have temperaments that are led quicker to the red. And then some of us just have found a rhythm, and maybe in the chemicals in our body, being shut off, void, is our easier path. And I believe this about our mood. We all here are going to be challenged uniquely by it. For some, we lean towards the red. For others, we lean towards the blue. Why? Is it my fault? No. Let me just put it this way. It is the fall. It's the fall. Because our bodies are under the fall. Chemicals are challenging in us because of what? The fall. And did we ask for these chemicals in our bodies like this? No, we did not. But we got to deal with it. And in dealing with it, the source of strength is made available. So in our lives, will it be the red, the blue, or the off? The hope that God has for us is that we shine brightly. And that brightness is found in His joy that lives in us. Which kind of light do we want radiating out of us? And let's just say this about the sin, and you can turn the lights back up. Sin will get us in a place where we'll just say, it don't matter. You deal with my mood. You just deal with it. And that's when societies fall apart. That's when families fall apart. That's when faith falls apart. We are rays of joy. Christ's followers carry the light of joy within them. And I want to look at a few scriptures here. John 15:11 comes out of Jesus teaching about the importance of abiding. And I don't have this verse up there, but I want to read this. John 15:4. Jesus is telling, hey, you want joy? This is how. You want the strength of a mood that is like me? This is how. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. For joy to be consistent, we have to be consistently connected to the vine. And then we go to verse 11, John 15. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So what does that tell me? God wants us filled up with His joy. I got the joy of the Lord. Just leave me alone. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. Just leave me alone. Fake it? Mm-mm. We've been there, right? We've seen the fakey attitude even come out of us. It's not what God's saying. He's saying there's a mood that I've destined to be your dominant mood. But maybe you've chosen something else. Maybe I've chosen something else. Not God's best. Maybe it was influenced again by how I was raised. And raising makes a difference, right? That's why God says raise up a child in the way he should go, right? And when he is older, he will not depart from it. Raise him up. Raise them up in the strength of God's joy. Because what you give them, most likely, is going to be what they live on. That's a power that God has entrusted to you. And then Philippians 4:4. Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord when everything's going well. When I wake up on the right side of the bed, when I get what I want, rejoice in the Lord always. And Paul had to bring it heavy. Again, I will say, even when my mood's saying no, my mood's sour and distant, red or blue or even off, again, I will say, rejoice. You know what rejoice really means? Be glad. That's what it means. What's got you down? There's a lot of reasons to be down. A lot. But the command of the Lord is to be
glad.
Now, this is where it gets very, very challenging at times. The weight comes and the light goes off. Where did I find joy when it's dark inside? Life comes at me really tough. And I got a lot of reason to be like totally disconnected, totally in despair, because we have despairing activities that hit our lives in this journey. And then, let's be honest, sometimes anger reaches deep in the root of our flesh because of what happened to us. Is there reasons for anger? Yes. In fact, in the Bible it says, be angry, yet sin not. So anger that is evaluating the situation to say, that ain't what? Right. But doesn't live as that being the dominant mood. I think anger comes for us to pinpoint and look at what has happened to us so that it doesn't what? Happen again. But it's anger that does not sin. Anger that does not move to bitterness, does not become our dominant mood. I thank God some people have gotten angry before. Saved me from a whole lot of junk. But they didn't live as that being their mood. And then also, be glad. As you're in these times, look to the source and say, God, I know there are things that are joyful that you have within me. And what that is the spirit of joy that rises up above all of our situations and our circumstances, and it reminds us that God is our hope, and our hope is not what happens in this life. But I want to touch on this real quick. You and I have one life. How are we going to live it? What will be the rays that will be in the hearts and minds of people when they think about us after we're gone? May it be joy. May it be of gladness. Romans 14:17 tells us this. I'm a Christian. So back off, leave me alone. I will be what I want to be. Don't set a framework that's not what? Me. Our framework is not us. Our framework is Jesus. It's as simple as that. We are called to display Jesus. And so how do I know that I'm walking in a manner and have a mood that God is content with? He tells us right here. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Another way of saying that, it isn't what you're getting in this world. It's not about the environment and how cushy it is. It's not about your list being checked off and saying, I got it. No. But it is these three things, and we must never forget what the kingdom of God truly is. And you say, Pastor, what is the kingdom of God? It's the authority of God ruling your heart right now. And if it is not the authority of God ruling our heart, it will be evident in our what? Mood. And we see the kingdom of God in these three aspects. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness. Somebody say, I got that one. I'm living clean, man. I'm not doing the things that sinners do. So I'm righteous. What? I'm in right standing with God. I'm checking the list, but it's more than just being in right standing in just our don't-do list, but of righteousness, peace. You walk in with God, you're going to have peace. It's guaranteed. If you're reaching for the authority of Him to guide you, He will supply peace. It's a promise. Why would He offer a kingdom that He could not supply? God is not a liar. It's not like man. Peace. How's your peace, O follower of Christ? How's your peace? And then we see this. The kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy. Joy. That's not my mood type. That's not my style. It's not what I learned growing up. I don't function good. It's showing my joy externally. I kind of keep it within. I kind of like balance it within. Joy is a gift of the rule of God in our lives. And you know what? Joy is so much more than just feeling good. Sometimes we just don't feel good. Sometimes it's like, man, why? And then we're at that danger point of disconnecting because it didn't go my way. It doesn't feel good. So we reject joy. But what we don't understand is that joy is elevated far above our feelings. It's a settling of the soul. When our spirit comes alive, joy and peace and righteousness are supplied by what? By who? The Holy Spirit. And when we are under the law of the Spirit, these are the elements that penetrate our mood, right standing with God. God, you don't like it when I'm grumpy. You don't like it when I could care less what my light is doing to others. When you tell me that I'm causing pain by my mood and I don't listen, you don't like it. So in that source of a new heart, in the Holy Spirit, joy reaches beyond the feelings of our flesh. Joy reaches beyond the wisdom of man's mind to the mind of Christ. And we experience it. And does it feel good? Yes, but it's a different type of feeling. It's a feeling of the soul, a feeling of the spirit. And once you got that, you're set. But the problem is, a lot of people think they're awakened spiritually, and the only thing that's awakened is a religious spirit. Mood. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, the source, the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord. David, come on up here, please, for a minute, if you don't mind. Juju, can you come up for a minute? And then, looking here, kind of looking around a little bit. Come stand right. And then, let's see. Let's have Delphine, why don't you stand right here if you're cool with that. Don't take that person. There you go. You can take that person. So in life, sometimes people come around and want to, what? Change your mood. They want to push your what? Your button. Things happen and somebody thinks, you know, if I do this to David, David's going to get like really, really upset. And we'll just say, I have a bad mood. Why? Because of what others did to me. My mood is this way because what? Because of you, right? But when God looks at the mood that we carry in this life, who is he looking to make the choice? What others did to us? What life did to us? The choice is us, right? So pick your choice light today. All you got to do is just touch it and it'll change colors. Pick your choice light. Sometimes it can be challenging to have the right mood. All right. The main thing here is mood is what? Our personal choice. It's our personal choice. And in this journey, there's a few things here to keep in mind. Now, guys, these are for you to take with you, but they're no good without power. You gotta have the power. Pass that down. You gotta have the power, and you also gotta have the instruction, the understanding. And I think there's one more in this bag. Yeah, here we go. Let's give them a hand. Now, at this time, take a look at your mood ring and see if it has changed at all. Your choice is you choose the type of light that will radiate from your life. If we can just bow for a moment in prayer this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, there is nothing that you cannot do when your people arise to being Christ-like. When you have placed us on this earth to be light and to be salt, you have provided all that is needed, Lord, to radiate joy upon this earth. And Father, you have chosen us for very challenging days. And we don't want to fail you, God. You chose this generation because you knew that this generation would answer your call. So we say, arise, O child of God, and let the light of the joy of the Lord radiate in you and beyond you to reach the hearts of others. If we can stand to our feet this morning, thank you, Lord.